Welcome to the Automate and Grow podcast.
All right, welcome to the Automate and Grow podcast. I'm here with the founders from Viral Ideas Marketing. Did I get that right, guys?
You got that right.
Oh my God. We were introduced by David Markovich from Online Geniuses, and I think you've had some connectivity with them, so I appreciate you guys jumping on the podcast with me today. Maybe you guys want to introduce yourselves so I don't screw up your names. I know we got David Feynman.
Yeah, so Dave Feynman from Viral Ideas, and then Zach Medina. So actually, we've known each other. Fun fact, we've known each other dating back to high school.
Oh wow!
When we started our first businesses, which we can get into in a little bit, but so we have a long-standing both business and friendship relationship over the years.
That's amazing. So you guys, tell me a little bit about what Viral Ideas Marketing is and who you guys work with and what sort of problems you solve.
Sure. So Viral Ideas was started about 2.5-3 years ago. Started it with a few clients. With the goal of helping them spread their message through online and social media. And as the company evolved, we really got heavily involved with video creation, content creation for brands. So our company really does three things. We focus on the strategy and the idea creation behind content. We focus on content development itself, and then we focus on distribution. We work with mostly, you know, mid to enterprise businesses, working with some of the largest companies in the world, creating their online content. It's a lot of fun. It's actually, when you get to create videos for a living, I mean, you can't beat that, right?
No, you can't actually. It's amazing.
So that's the business. That's what we do on a day to day. And you know, we're always trying to help new clients with what we do.
So now when you say you're creating video content, is it primarily for social media and you're trying to get attention? Is that kind of the concept? Because you've obviously got Viral Idea. Tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing and why that's special.
It's a good question. So at Viral Ideas, we really focus on the why behind a company. So we work with mostly corporate brands where we go in and we do company culture videos and then also social related videos. But all of our stuff, I would say like 99% of our videos are actually distributed on social. Maybe a little bit on TV, but everything that we create is meant for social media.
And when you say social media, is this like you're creating a viral message for the company and then you're syndicating it across like Facebook and YouTube, or what's kind of your strategy there? Where does it depend?
Yeah, so the content actually goes out mainly from what we're seeing right now: Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, little bit of Twitter. So what we'll do is we'll make one piece of pillar content, and then that actually just gets broken down across the channels and distributed. Kind of like you would syndicate a blog out, or you would syndicate, you know, a television show out across multiple networks. Same thing now is happening with social media and online. I mean, companies are really taking advantage of it.
That's you guys, I think.
Those are just our phones ringing.
Your phones are ringing already. People are psychically watching this.
Yeah, I know we're just recording this.
Maybe they're watching it live somehow. Yeah.
The phones are ringing now.
Sorry about that.
So give me an idea. So if, let's say, you know, let's look at two scenarios. So this is a good example, right? Where Automate and Grow was originally a book that I created. And then it seemed obvious to me that I have to like create video content for YouTube, syndicate across social. How would you work it with a company like Automate and Grow? Like, what would that engagement look like?
So, for example, let's say we're doing something with Automate and Grow that has a podcast or some type of other content. The podcast is actually broken down for chunks for Instagram stories, chunks for actual parts of Instagram, or actually distributed out on Facebook. So for a company that, you know, has maybe a physical product, you can constantly be putting out content. And one thing that we actually do at Viral is every time we're on a podcast or every time we're on, you know, any type of media, that media gets chunked up and placed and played out over the next 2-3 weeks and gets fed into the media cycle. So we view for companies like Automate and Grow, or companies like ourselves, or any company out there that we work with, we view the creation of media as something that we're looking to garner continual sustained views and publish as if we were our own network. So we're constantly building an audience and constantly showing them more and more content that we're constantly generating over time. And that content then brings people into your funnel and brings them into the ability to actually buy something from you ultimately, or engage with you, or spread your message in a certain given way.
And I think with podcasts specifically, something that is really useful is actually taking the transcript of your podcast. So let's say this goes on for 30 minutes or something like that. Have it converted into a transcript and then pull out the key points in the video or in the podcast, and then shorten it down into what we call sizzle video, so that you're, you know, some people may not want to watch the full 30 minutes. I get right. that. But maybe they can watch, you know, a 30-second, a one-minute clip that is the core content that we pull out of here. And that's something we do over at Viral. We've had a lot of success with.
So give me an idea. So, for example, it sounds like, you know, you're trying to basically convert that into from – it's like, you know, someone's got an idea. You're trying to get attention for it. And then you're trying to, you know – propose something to them to get them into a funnel, it sounds like, or to engage them in some way. There's a goal as part of it. So there's like a forethought of what you want them to do. Is that kind of what you're describing?
Yeah. So a lot of times people actually don't have the idea, right? And that's where one of our core competencies is actually like coming up with the idea and the idea creation in the beginning. So that's really where we found that our strengths are. From there, we really look at it as, basically a model, and if you want to describe it, the three, or the funnel, top, mid, bottom, and yeah. how we create videos for each part of that funnel.
So basically, you know, when any company, you know, if you're listening, you know, and you have some sort of sales funnel, there's a top, mid, bottom. So the top of funnel might be something like, for example, for you, this podcast. That's where you're getting your baseline eyeballs. Then once they hit your page and they're looking at your product, you might take a look at a product video showing off some features and benefits. And then at the bottom is where you're closing, you're explaining them the price, you're explaining them, you know, what actually goes into it. So video at each stage of the funnel for a lot of the B2B businesses or even B2C becomes their actual sales force from the top, mid, and bottom stages of the funnel.
Got it.
You're able to attract the views all the way through the funnel as if it were an individual salesperson that you're hiring on an hourly basis, but it just lives on the internet and it's automated in a way for people to do anything they want.
Right. A big misconception is a lot of people think, okay, we're a video company and you know, you're just creating a traditional commercial, right? And it's so not that, right? We're coming up with ideas and different things throughout the entire funnel that people – basically, if you look at your website, we kind of take what your website is and kind of translate that all into video. And the more video that you guys can have out there, the more content that's out there, the better it is for the business.
Got it. So first of all, it sounds like if your website sucks, then your content might suck, right? Which is possible. So I think you hit on a good point that I was going to bring up, which is – when you talk to people, you have one of two types of conversations, I think, today. One is very jargony and marketing speak, and it's like packaged, right? And I'm curious because you're on the forefront of this type of content, and I think what you're probably trying to do is imagine the response to what you're creating, right? So there's a certain amount of projection. And then the other types of conversations are maybe more like this, where it's organic, we're talking about ideas, and we're trying to, you know, we're being real human beings and relatable, right?
We're trying.
Trying, right?
You were telling me something about ET earlier, so.
Oh, that's old news, man. That's like so far ago. I'm sure they'll remake it, don't worry. Like everything else.
Yes.
So I think what you're saying, though, is like, have you guys worked on projects where are you trying to only work with people that are doing things that are relatable? Are you trying to coach along those lines, or does it matter? Like, can it be very, you know, what people would call salesy or marketing-y?
So that's a good question. And what we found is, I mean, like Dave said, we worked with the mom and pop shops up to the Fortune 500 companies. And a lot of times we go in without having a full-blown script. So a lot of people will have their, you know, CEO or president memorize this long, drawn-out script. And I'm not saying that that's not the right thing to do. Right. We just have a different way of doing it. So we like to go in, and we're known to sometimes even make the CEO cry and really get that emotion out of them, right?
Jesus, do they get fired?
That's what people really look for, though, is to humanize the brand and to really relate to them from a personal perspective. So I can't mention their name, but one of the biggest insurance companies in the U.S., what we're doing with them is they're basically – they want to showcase them as, like – a regular type of person. So out of the boardroom, not some stripped it in front of like their big chair and things like that. So we're going to really relate to the people, the audience who they're conveying the message to as best as possible. And we do that really just like hitting on the why of why they started, the why of their company. And that, from what we've found, has really triggered some success with us and clients.
So it's interesting you say that. So, you know, one of the things that I write about is important is to come up with that why, right?
Yeah.
And I think is it Simon Sinek, you know, I reference him where he's got a great, you know, methodology, if you will. It's a book around but the purpose of storytelling. And it's almost like a structure, which is if you tell someone, you know, what you do and then you tell them how you do it, you know, there's that might be your unique thing, but if you tell them why, then they emotionally connect, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you're describing, which is you're trying to draw that out of people and use storytelling to get their message across.
Yeah, because I mean, it works both ends. I mean, I would say I hit more of the emotional side. Dave hits more of the rational side, just how we are.
It's a good fit. I need one of you guys on my team. I just don't know which one it is.
But at certain points in time, you do need that rational side. Like, for example, if you want like a product how-to video, you don't want some like drawn out emotional story. You just want to know exactly what to do with that product or whatever, which is those videos work in that circumstance. But from a more brand perspective, brand awareness, the emotional videos and the whys really hit with the audience.
Interesting. So if someone's like, I don't know what your experience has been as far as, you know, let's say someone's starting from zero, they have zero attention, they really don't have that audience, and maybe they need to define it. How are you getting that attention? Is it just by content creation? Because I've asked different people and I don't know if I have a really clear answer in my head.
So this is actually my favorite question, because for our brand, this is like we started using our own methodology, and we've now gotten to the point where we're getting tens of thousands of views and people looking at our stuff every week.
Wow.
So the way you do it is it's not just about making a good piece of content. You have to find different distribution partners. And let's say you are, you know, let's say you are a company that is, you know, focusing more along the lines of, you know, a product or a service.
Yep.
You're going to make a piece of content, and then you're going to find either a niche blog or you're going to find some niche publication if you're starting with no money. And you're going to ask them to publish your piece of content into that arena. And you're going to do that again and again. So for all the time that you spend on publishing the content, you need to find, you know, different areas for you to distribute that actual piece of content. Hmm. Now, if you have enough money, you can use distribution methods like Facebook ads and YouTube advertisements. But really figuring out little buckets to place your piece of content as you go and building up those buckets and constantly feeding them is what gets your content out there. And then you have to make sure, you know, once you've gotten that content out there, you have to make sure that this is the right audience for you. And the way you test that is, okay, are people calling me about my service? Are people, you know, filling out the form or doing my intended action along with it? So that's what we see working well. If you're starting with nothing, it's just finding those little distribution buckets, placing your content there, and then building more over time.
And to really tag off what Dave's saying too, I don't want to go down too much of the 76ers, but we're from Philly, so trusting the process is part of it, is really trust the process in what you're doing. A lot of times people will do one video and be like, all right, what's my ROI on that one video? Whereas Dave and I mean, we started with $250 of our own money and have built it from zero clients to 120 clients, I think we just checked it at, in 2.5 years. And rarely do we ever put out a piece of content and go, what's our ROI on that? We just trust the process that continually putting out content, doing great work, following up with clients, doing all the right stuff will eventually build into something.
So, I mean, I've in a short amount of time, for example, like I've produced a fair amount of content, and I think the question in my head has always been how effective is paid really? And, you know, I think should every episode have a call to action? Should it have a lead magnet? I've heard other people do that. Is that kind of part of what you do, or are you kind of putting just creating the content and the strategy, and then letting the customer, so to speak, kind of deal with that stuff?
So we'll focus on the distribution end. We'll figure out what's the intended action of a piece of content. So, for example, for a lot of years, especially with the podcast, you might want to get people to join an email list at the bottom of it. I'm sure a lot of people that are watching, especially if you're automating, you know, some sort of product, you want someone to join an email list. So putting that together with something like HubSpot, where they have lead magnets, or, you know, even just a simple form at the bottom, is important because it gives something, you know, for you to grab onto and keep that person's attention, especially if you're giving them something valuable like this podcast, where they can learn and grow from it.
So then it sounds like, you know, the traffic is one thing, but you have to use the video to convert almost. And I know, yeah. I don't know if you guys see this, but there's like a huge groundswell, maybe just because of the space I'm in, around ClickFunnels, for example, and funnels, right? So I think people get that, and they're pretty, you know, kind of creating sales process out of that, following that methodology. But it sounds like you kind of have something similar where you're saying like, okay, it's one thing to get attention. It's another thing to keep producing good content, but there's got to be some way to capture that so that you can go back to those people. And that's how you build audience.
Exactly. And one of the things we do with that is, no matter what the piece of content is, YouTube's a little different, but if people are going and the traffic's happening on the website, we're tracking that back with a Facebook pixel, right? You know, retargeting pixels. If it's on Facebook, we're constantly tracking who is that. And now if we ever want to take action or ever want to retarget and pull them back in, we now have that audience built. And even though they might not have given all over a piece of data, like an email address, a telephone number, whatever it might be, we can still retarget them and we can still pull them back in, have them watch the piece of content, you know, show them more things. So it's all about mining that audience. And it's one thing, you know, I kind of acknowledge, you know, run the analogy of, you know, if you go out to Philly, you know, and you look at different people trying to get garner attention, right? You might have the guy that's, you know, walking down the street, and you have a guy playing a ukulele and he's playing an awesome song and singing. He's going to get more attention than maybe the guy with the sign that says, "Hey, I need some money. I
need help."
Right. So it's kind of like, what do you do with the people walking down the street? Are you going to be playing the guitar and giving something to someone, you know, someone something of value, or are you going to just have a sign that says, "Hey, buy my thing because I'm me"? So, you know, really, that's what exactly what happens with when you're retargeting and mining that traffic.
That makes sense. And are you saying that one is more effective than the other, or it depends?
Depends on the situation. It depends how far along the sales funnel you are too. Mm-hmm. So if you're further along down the sales funnel, buy now might work with a coupon code. But if you're more along it, maybe you do want to, you know, sing them a little song.
And I also think it depends on your offering, right? So one of our clients is a hotel client. So, you know, a room rate goes anywhere from $100 to $200 to $250, whatever. And we use retargeting videos and things like that to bring people back in with a, you know, 15% offer, 20% offer. The thing is with, let's say, custom video, you can't always do that. It's not like we're going to show you some ad and being like 10% off your next, you know, custom video order. It just doesn't make sense like that. But, you know, with things more like commodities and you're selling shoes, shirts, things like that, that works pretty well with the retargeting.
So it's kind of like where, you know, I go through this conversation with people around choosing their sales, kind of their structure. Like, you know, when I talk about sales capability, it's like, are you e-commerce? Are you direct? Are you a hybrid, right? And a lot of it goes to the complexity of the buying process and the complexity of the product, right? So it sounds kind of like what you're talking about, which is if it's a simple product and there's immediacy, right? I can buy it. That kind of goes into your decision making, as opposed to, you know, I got to keep feeding them and, you know, push them through the sales process or figure out where they're at in the sales process before I engage them, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times when you're selling, you know, say a bigger product or service or something like that, it's really important to just hit them with a lot of different pieces of content that really build up the awareness of who you are, what your brand does, and things like that. I know we do that here where we're not always asking people to do something automatically, but they see our content enough to realize that we're doing really great work. We're working with some really big clients, and that's really how we garner the attention.
Makes total sense. All right, well, I want to shift gears a little bit, and I do want to hear about how you guys, I know you guys met when you were pretty young and in school. Tell me about how, like, where did this business concept come from, and how did you guys start, and how long ago? Because it sounds like it's kind of an interesting story.
It's a good question. So we actually started separately years ago. So Dave started his first company at 16. I was same thing. I started my own company at 16.
Couldn't drive.
It was the entertainment industry. So I would do sweet 16s. Dave would do these big teen dances with thousands of people, and we kind of just became friends through there.
Okay.
Then we kind of moved up a little bit. Dave actually started the Zombie Run, which is a nationally touring 5K apocalyptic themed run, and
wow,
we started doing that. After he sold that, we actually were sitting at Starbucks, and I was creating an app at the time. I was like, hey, like, check this out. I was like, you know, it was back when the big boom was with all the apps. I was like, I want to go get funding, all this stuff. So we were like, let's go out to Cali. So we booked a flight. We flew out there, I think, like a week later, and we met some really cool people who connected us, and we ended up getting some people through there. And then we got our first client, and we basically put in $250 cash of our own money and one client's leap of faith in us. And that's really how our journey started. And I think Dave can take it from there, because it was a lot of hustling, grinding, and a lot of sleepless nights, I guess you could say.
Tell me about it. No, tell me about it. So it sounds like, you know, someone took a leap of faith on you and you got your first client that kind of, you know, gave you the bug, and it sounds like you guys enjoy what you're doing, which helps, right?
We love it.
And then, so what, when you say like a lot of hustle and grinding, like how do you find clients today? Like in those days, how did you find clients, and has that changed?
So it's interesting because we actually were working out of our client's back office. It was considered the storage room. And basically I was the implementer, doer, whatever you would say, and Dave was the sales guy. So anytime I saw him in the office, it was a bad thing. We wanted him out on the go. So he can tell you what he did, and he just grinded out and really got us to work, and then I made it happen inside the office.
So in the beginning, we basically had those first two clients. The primary purpose of the business was, you know, make those couple clients very happy. So what I would do is work a little bit there. Zach did most of that work, but then I actually just picked up a phone book, and I started cold calling.
Damn.
So I cold called on lists. I would set appointments. I would go in, write a proposal, and repeat. And pretty much for the first, I would say, 6 months to a year of the business, that's how we got clients.
Wow.
It was just cold calling and referral. Built up a nice base. Probably at that point, it was about 30, 40 clients. Those clients then started referring us more clients. So that took us to about 70 clients. So we roughly doubled the client base. And then from there, we actually built a whole new website, built a whole new marketing system, ate our own dog food. And
isn't that the toughest thing though?
It is the toughest thing.
Like I can drop in and help a client, but for myself, I'm like, it's like I get this black mask over my
face. You know too much. Like, that's what I've noticed. When you know too much about your own product, service, whatever, it's like you get this blind. Yeah.
But we have been doing it for ourselves now, from about the year mark till now. And now most of our clients come in either a referral from our content. We're on a lot of podcasts. So that's basically how the business has been built, from 0 to 120 clients in 2.5 years.
That's amazing. When you're out there, like, what are you thinking? Like, what's the future of your business? Like, what do you guys want to accomplish? Or do you think that far ahead? Do you just kind of like want to keep having fun and growing it?
So Dave and I really we're really big about living a fulfilled life. So really what makes us happy is building this business. So whether, you know, there's changes in the video market, whatever, we definitely want to see where that goes. But as long as we're building the business, as long as we're doing what we love and feeling fulfilled, I think that's our number one priority.
I mean, that probably propels you farther than anything, right?
Yeah.
I think sometimes, you know, you get caught in spreadsheet syndrome, right? Where you're kind of like extrapolating numbers and it's like, this is going to be awesome, but then it doesn't connect, right? And it's like the disappointment of the work, it sounds like, is something you enjoy, which it probably drives you more than anything.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So we've been on for about 25 minutes and I want to be conscious of your time, guys. So, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you want to make sure that we touch on? Like what should people know about you and how do people get in touch with you?
Sure. So our main mission at Viral is to help companies uncover their why. And it's something that we've done a lot for ourselves, in exploring, but really when we work with a client, you know, our main mission is to help them create, to inspire, which is one of our missions, help them uncover their why through video and really share that message with the world. Because once you hit that with your company and once you hit that with yourself, the rest just becomes easy. You know exactly what content to create, you know exactly what to sell. And the reason Zach was just kind of like, oh, we want to just be fulfilled in what we're doing is because we kind of like just know what to do every day. It's like more intuitive for us. We know the right moves to make just because of, you know, we're grounded in, you know, our central why. So, you know, we love helping companies do that for themselves through the process and through the creative process of making video. I know it's kind of
I mean that's a mission, right? And I think that, you know, there's a lot of static out there in the media, which, you know, I've pretty much deleted all of that crap. And people talk about like generations and they put labels on them. And I think the one thing that's interesting when I look at, you know, maybe guys that are in their 20s, even maybe a little younger, kind of, you know, where you guys fit, is they're very, very specific about what they want. And I think that they're a lot of times being raised or educated in a system that frowns on that and that, you know, there's a lot of negativity around that. But to me, that's a niche, right?
Yeah.
So I think what you're saying is consistent with that, which is, come up with your own why, and that's really what the fuel to your fire is going to be, right? It's like, yeah, we just enjoy this and we want to do it more with people, and it's not so much focused on maybe, you know, someone else's idea, right? That's kind of what you're saying, and
right.
That's probably what's made you successful, and that's probably what makes you successful with your clients, is my guess. What's probably the, you know, if you guys were to pick out each of you the one highlight project that you've worked on that really was fun, that people should look at to really get a flavor for, you know, your best work, what would that be? I'll start with Zach first.
So the favorite project to date, I would say, is called Easy Connect, and it's basically a phone company. Ironically, we were just talking about some phones with you. Basically, a lot of people would just stand up and say, all right, this phone is blah, 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 and just start rattling off that. And we're like, we have to go something deeper. We have to do something a bit more emotional. And this phone company actually sells international calling for a reasonable price. So we thought about it on a deeper level and thought, what does this mean? It really means that people connect with one another. Basically, they're selling connection, easy connect. So what we did was we thought back when we were young, when we would play out in the fields with the little tin cans and the little rope that, you know, connected us and acted like we were talking on the phone.
Did you guys do that?
I didn't do it. Well,
I did a little bit.
Yeah, I mean.
Wow.
I mean,
I know I did it, but I was like, I'm old. So
so we have these two kids playing out in the field, young, you know, just loving life, nothing really against them. And then we show the progression of them getting older and losing connection. Eventually, she comes up to her door, and she sees this little box, and she opens up the box, and what's in there but the tin can and a little note that says, call me. And then we just fade in the Easy Connect logo, and that was it. And it says, stay connected with Easy Connect, or something like that. And we've had so much success with that. So not only was it so much fun to film, it was a lot of work. It took us like days to film it. But it really turned out to be a great success for the company.
That's amazing. How about yourself, David? Is there anything else other than that one that kind of stands out for you?
Zach's rolling his eyes because he just went on this whole emotional diet. But so he knows which one's my favorite. So we were actually, we won a web series around women empowerment.
Okay.
And we thought to ourselves, like, what is the best thing to do to overcome your fears? And the thing we came up with was skydiving. So we actually got two women together.
And Dave.
I had a kind of fun
doesn't sound like women's empowerment to me. I don't know. I'm
the client and him to do it. Yeah, okay. He just wanted to jump out of a plane.
I jumped out of a plane.
I was just the background. I'm in the video for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I was like, hey. So they actually skydived for the first time, and we walked through the whole process with them and kind of overcoming their fears of jumping out of a plane. And for me, I don't know whether I just love the video and the way it's done, or whether it just brings back some amazing memories of jumping out of a plane.
Maybe both.
Maybe you can check out the video and tell me what you think. But that was my favorite project. And actually, for my birthday this year, I'm filling an entire plane with my friends, and we're all going to jump out. If you'd like to fly in for that.
What date is that?
June 27th.
And where are we going?
It's going to be in Philadelphia. I'll see you.
Sweet. All right. Well, there's no Flyers games on at that point. We just have to watch the Phillies, and I don't know if I could do that. But so two things I'll wrap up with that I usually wrap up with, and there's probably so much more I could talk about with you guys because it's a really interesting area, but I want to be conscious of everybody's time. So the one thing that I ask people, and I'm going to ask you guys, is how are you, either individually or as a team, changing the world?
So my personal mission, and I could probably speak for Zach a little bit here, but
you know, we're basically married.
So my personal mission is be happy, spread happiness, and no matter what interaction I have, whether it's making a call to a vendor, whether it's getting my gas, going to Furthos in the Northeast, Wawa to pick up some food. Whatever it is, I want to make the other person and spread my own happiness to them. And the central mission behind Viral is, at the core, if you go a layer under what we talked about earlier, it's happiness and creating happiness. Because I think a lot of people don't focus on it, and it's something that can be worked on, and ultimately you can be happy even if you're not right now. So for us, it's about, how can we lift up the people around us, share some of our happiness with them and help them find their own happiness in a small way. And really, if I can do that, over the next, I think I got like 60 years left.
You might have more.
I might have more.
I'm planning on 127 as my number. So, and then I'll probably get to that and keep going.
Yeah, you know what?
Seems a bit long.
No, it's not going to be. That's the thing.
I guess if medicine keeps evolving, we won't go down that road. If I could do that over the next 80 years of my life, then I will have done something amazing.
That's awesome. Well, I love what you guys are doing, and I want to make sure we stay in touch in the future. But for the moment, what I'd like to ask you is, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. So whenever we have like interesting guests on Automate and Grow, we want to ask you guys to nominate someone that you can introduce us to that you think would also be a great guest on Automate and Grow. And usually it's the first person or people that come to mind. So I'd like you guys to nominate, and if you have to like talk amongst yourselves, that's fine. But I want you to nominate someone that you think that we should be introduced to that would appear in an episode of Automate and Grow.
So my friend Jonathan Grabowski is really awesome.
He's actually like really helping Camden across the bridge of Philly.
Okay.
He's doing a lot of good out there.
And then I would also say Ted Mann, who runs this company called Slice. They're really transforming the way visual search works within apps. And he's saying David Markovich, who actually introduced us to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked to David, right? That's how we got introduced to you guys. So.
He's built the OG Online Geniuses up to how many members now?
Yeah. 20,000 or something?
20,000, yeah.
And we're actually a part of running that community as well, which is
great.
That'd be a cool talk, though, to see how he started, because obviously he started from zero, too, and he just started that years ago. So
I just edited that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's going to be appearing today.
He's a character.
He definitely
is. I'll be excited to watch
it. How did we do as far as editing? Are you going to edit this a lot?
No.
Except for the phone ring, right?
No.
That would get rid of it. Are you going to leave that?
I might leave it. We'll see.
Show some urgency.
It's like, look, we're making the phones ring. People are watching. It's like a telethon.
Our payroll guys just walked in, though, so it looks like... They brought us coffee, I think.
Oh, wow, okay.
Do you want to say hi to them? Because I told them we were on a podcast, and they, you know, Mark got all excited.
He's jumping in on the action here.
I overheard. Hey, Dylan.
Oh, wow, look at this. We got, like, another member of the team there.
Another member of the team?
Yeah.
Who is that?
This is Mark.
Yeah, hi, I'm Mark. I work for ADP.
ADP. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
So you do their payroll?
Yeah, I do. They're good friends of mine, too. I met them at college.
So is ADP sponsoring this podcast now?
Well, we brought him coffee, so I guess so.
He's a big fan of the Flyers.
Are you?
Yeah.
I know a couple people on the Flyers, yeah.
He's dating a Flyers cheerleader, too.
Oh, are you? Wow, it sounds like the person to be in Philadelphia. Dang. All right, guys, thank you for joining me. So let's just to wrap up. So who have we nominated to appear? We have two people, right? Ted Mann.
Ted Mann.
Sorry, say the other name again.
Ted Mann.
Ted Mann and?
John Grabowski.
John Grabowski. All right. Okay. So John and Ted, you guys have been nominated to appear on an episode of Automate and Grow, and we're going to follow up with the guys to get introduced to them and schedule you guys in. This has been episode 21 of Automate and Grow. Thank you very much, guys. You've provided me insight into an area that I'm really interested in, and I wish you guys continued success, and hopefully we'll stay in touch, and maybe we'll go skydiving.
Awesome. Let's do it. 27th, be there.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
This has been an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. Check out other episodes for interesting topics on how to grow, innovate, and automate your business. Subscribe or like us on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, or on our website at www.automategrow.biz, and get your copy of the book Automate and Grow at Amazon today.